Right, I got good news and bad news today. It's a stretch here. I've got two parables and a flashback. It's got a lot of message, but it's going to take a minute. So, but I blast through these things, so I promise I'll make a short work of it. Yes, appreciate it. Appreciate that. Yeah. Yes, sir. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as we were in the days of Noah, so will we be coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant, whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear God, if you find me guilty before you today, please allow my voice to not overtake your word. Your word be stronger than my voice. Please let this message capture the hearts of people today and teach them how to live. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So what's happened so far is that Jesus has just gone to the temple and said a whole lot of inflammatory things, things that would otherwise have been unacceptable in the political and religious structure of that day. It was already known that he was in hot water with these guys, and so when he mentions hypocrites there at the end, those hypocrites are in fact the people he's already laid it out. These are people that are not practicing what they preach. So prior to that, after coming out of the temple, the disciples are standing there with him, and they say, hey, look at the temple. This is nice, right? Huh? And Jesus says, oh, yeah. And so they sit down on the Mount of Olives and ask him straight up, you know, when are you coming back? If everything you're saying is true, when are you going to come back? And can you tell us a little bit about what follows? What's going to happen to us? It's a real simple way of asking something they've already asked three or four times. They're worried about themselves and how they're going to move forward without him. So coming to that, when he says, I'm coming to that hour, no one's going to know. He's already discussed with them what the near future is going to look like. He told them that it's going to be bad. They're going to be succumbing and overcoming very bad things. The truth is that it's not going to be pretty. He's told them this. Jerusalem's done for. You're going to buy it in a bad way. And you have to know when it's coming and be aware of what that looks like. On the list of miracles that Jesus puts before the people, this isn't even one of the big ones. It was written on the walls. You're going to have problems. Roman owns you, and they've already said they're going to put you down if you stand up to them again. So here it comes. All right, so he then answers the second question. When are you going to return? When are you coming back? And what will that look like? And I'll be honest, the message has got to be a little disheartening for him, because they were, to a man, generally speaking, kind of bumbling, worried about themselves. They were still human. They were still sinners. They didn't quite understand that this was not what was important. Sure, I mean, Christ will return, and that's going to be a beautiful day. But the important part was that he was there for you. He lived with you. He gave you a message that you could use to live with. So Christ tells him in an unfortunate way that, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer. Only the Father knows. I'm terribly disappointed to tell you this, but this is what it's going to look like. So he talks about the days of Noah. And Noah being a righteous man among people who were arguably vicious, mean, self-serving. This was the kind of description they gave to the people back then. But Christ doesn't do that. Christ says that they were marrying and entering into marriage. They had culture. And they were confident in themselves and that tomorrow would be there. Tomorrow was not there for them. That flood came and it didn't care what they thought about their abilities. They were in need of something more. At that moment, they were in need of something more than their own abilities. They needed to have faith in something higher, and they did not. And the one person who did was Noah. Because, verbatim, you are a righteous man. That means, and they described what he did from that point. He said, because Noah did all that was commanded of him. So Noah is told to go build a boat in the desert. And he builds it. And he's given measurements. And he uses those measurements. And he's given a wood type. And he uses that wood type. He's given all the means for a man in the desert to know how to build a yacht. A gigantic boat. That's kind of strange. So he does all of these things. And God saved him. Taught him how to live. So if I told you today that I'm going to bring you a message of revelation, a message that is otherwise used to describe the book of Revelations, would you think I was going to bring you a message of fire and brimstone? Would you think today's going to be a rafter raiser? I'm not sure, but I think it would be disingenuous to what was actually being said here. Christ told them how to live. He didn't tell them. I mean, sure, you could take it as a threat, or you could take it as a promise. It's coming. He doesn't care what you're going to do to time how you behave. If you're sitting on your deathbed and you happen to agree that your salvation lies in Christ, great. But if you're timing for that, you're kind of missing the point. It's not exactly working like that. Every day, every hour, you wake up and you're expected to know that you are a child of God. You're expected to know that you have a purpose, and you're expected to live that life in the way in which you are commanded. Noah said, "Yes, sir." And he was righteous. "Will do." And he was righteous. That was the extent of Noah's good deeds. You can count on it. Everyone else there had no idea of what it meant to live. That was the problem. If they had children, that's all right. They were going to be lost in the first moments because they're shorter and are going to drown first. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about your wife. You're going to climb right over her to get to the side of that boat and hope that you might survive. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can stand up for because you're going to be under the water too. So the question here is, how are you going to live? What are you going to do? So you go to the next parts here, and it says, "Who then is like a thief in the night?" Here we go. Well, that's, I get robbed about once a month, and I'd like to think that I could be there to talk some sense into the guy, whoever it is that keeps, you know, picking my pocket at home. I'd like to think I could be there for him. But the truth is, that's probably not how it works. I can't even be there to protect the house. So what if this played out. And that thief in the night comes, and one day I've got cameras in place. It's just, that's the day. That's the day he's going to answer. He's going to pay, and there's nothing I can do about it. I would love to talk to him and say, look, but I got an answer for you. I've been told something that you need to hear. And that may be the way it works out, but statistically, that's probably not the way it would work out. So then, this person is unexpectedly thrown into what he deserves, what he has reaped for the past several years now. So you be ready for the Son of Man, because he comes at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the wise and faithful servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Can anybody say a prayer for Keith today? Because he does these things. But what does that mean for you? I mean, are you going to be the wise and faithful servant? Keith is merely a servant. Our pastor serves the best he can. How can you do that? How can I do that? I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to say I am. What I'm saying is, what are you capable of? Who are you going to be talking to at the right moment, at the right time, to deliver that message, to feed the food to? Who are you going to be talking to in that moment when you have created the next disciple of Christ and he goes forth and saves thousands? Who are you going to be talking to when he understands all of a sudden that it's about how you live and not what you're afraid of, not who you should be afraid of, not who has what, not where you're going, not what you've got to do, but how are you going to live? So the wicked servant says to himself that he's going to eat and drink because he's got time. I mean, let's not worry about it. I'm alive today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. So then you get back to the end here, and they're telling him, he's telling the disciples, so you're going to come to the end and you're going to reap what you have sown. You're going to be cut into pieces and thrown in with the lot of the hypocrites, the Pharisees, people like me, people like Keith, people like you, if you stand outside and say, you should be like this, and you are not. There's no end to the means by which we can fall short. We're not perfect. You're not asked to be perfect. You are asked to live. And God laid it out, how you would live, what that would look like, who you would bend your knee to. And if I'm promising you, there's a thousand excuses as to why you can't do it. I had a long list as to why I could not be there at when I was just clearly being beaten up over the whole topic. You can't fall short of what God has asked you to do, because God will come after you. If he said, do this, it's going to happen. So I pray that we all listen to God today. I pray that we all pay attention to what's in our hearts. I pray that we all stop. Tell me what you're thinking right now. Tell me what's in your heart right now. No amens. No, this guy's crazy because he might be. No promises. Tell me what you're thinking right now, because when he comes like a thief in the night, where are you going to be, spiritually speaking? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be living life? Or are you going to be coasting to the last day? Are you going to have sown hatred your entire life and then hope, beyond hope, that you're going to be able to time it? There is no tomorrow. Ever. There's only today. And you're going to live or you're going to die. And I'm asking you, I'm praying with you today. Live. You can do that. We can do that. He's asked us to. It's not impossible. And he loves you enough to tell you how to do it. I don't have anything else to add to this, but I challenge you all to go and love somebody that doesn't deserve it. try to go and show mercy to somebody that probably doesn't have it coming, because you don't know who that guy is. You don't know what's coming next for him. You know, use your discernment. I'm not asking you to be crazy, but love somebody. Dear God, thank you for this word today. Thank you for this opportunity to come together as family and friends. Please allow us and allow your word to work on these people today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.